On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show. And here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
All right, boys and girls out there in podcast land, welcome to the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, where Danny and I ask questions, do bits, do other things, talk about whatever the hell we want. And starting now, we're going to do this almost live.
Almost.
So we're going to record it today and then put it out today. In the past, we recorded it a bunch of segments and we spliced them all together, but that just takes way too much time. So we're just going to kind of do this. We're going to record it and we're going to put it out there. Hiccups and all, farts and all, burps and all, coughs and all. So that's what we're going to do.
You wanted the best and you got it. The hottest band in the land.
Bullet Boys. I went to see the mighty Bullet Boys at the Canyon Club in Santa Clarita, California. It was Friday the 15th, and I was it was the original lineup, so all four original Bullet Boys back together.
And how was it?
And it was really good, but you know what? People were really pumped about this. There was a grand total, and I counted them, 60 people there.
Jeez.
60, not including the band. That would have been 64. So it was a light crowd on a Friday night. I think a lot of people are still, not everybody's wants to go see live music, and they're maybe a little scared. You know, California's still kind of shut down a little bit. But it was light. I've seen a couple shows previous to that, and this was definitely the lightest in terms of attendance. It was so light, I was standing there next to the wall waiting for the show, and Mick Sweeta walks by me, carrying his guitar, walking in, goes in the back. And then I'm typing on my phone, oh, the drummer, Jimmy DeAnda, walks right past me like, okay. I guess maybe the people don't know who these guys are, or maybe they know everybody in the audience. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got there. Guess what time the show started on a Friday night? That could be part of it, too.
10 o'clock?
10 o'clock. No, Danny. 8 o'clock.
8?
Okay. Yeah, which is early for a Friday night, don't you think?
Was there an opening band, or was it just them?
The opening band went on at 7.
Damn.
Bullet Boys actually went on at 8:15. So, okay. which is fine by me, because I'm an old bastard, and by the looks of the crowd, so were they. I think we were 40 and up. I say 40 wow. 40 all the way to the mid-60s. So, yeah, we were an old crowd. But, hey, you know what? The place holds probably about, I'd say about 800. So 60 of us there. Not a good start. But you know what? It didn't really matter because the band played like they were headlining Dodger Stadium.
Wow.
They went out there and they just gave it everything. They sounded really good. The drummer, Jimmy DeAnda, hit so damn hard. They were super tight. And what I figured out later, and they did about an hour and 10-minute set, which I thought was kind of short, but then I figured out what they were doing because on Sunday
they had to get to Tennessee, right?
Correct. They were playing in Tennessee on Sunday night. So basically they played a Thursday and a Friday night here in Southern California, jumped on a plane, flew to Tennessee, and probably did that same set they were just practicing for.
Because
I don't think these guys all live around here. I think they're spread out a little bit. The highlights for me, of course, they played mostly first album, some second album, and I think maybe one from the third album, maybe, because I'm not sure if the show was on the second or the third album, but that was my favorite song of the whole set. It's really a fast song with a double, it's not a double bass, but it sure sounds like it, because he only had one bass drum up there.
Well, he might have had two pedals on that one drum.
That's probably what it was, because
a lot of people do that.
Yeah, it sounded fantastic. The only thing Mark did that was really annoying is he has a whistle around his neck.
Yeah.
And sometimes during the song, when he's not doing anything, he blows his whistle into the mic.
Ooh.
But it doesn't really bother you too much because the music's so damn loud.
Okay.
So you'd think it'd be worse than it was, but he did that a couple times. He does his normal spins around and, you know, he mocks, you know, he does his little faces and does his little dances. But it was still very entertaining. The original Bullet Boys are very tight. And there's a reason why they had that first album sold over a million, because it's a home run. I think Ted.
Oh, it's a great album.
Yeah, I think Ted Templeman. Yeah, he's the one who recorded that. And they were supposed to be the next Van Halen.
Yeah.
And then the second album came out and it stiffed, and that was pretty much it for them. And they released albums after that, but it was really that first album that really put them on the map. So overall, I'd say great show, light crowd, band was into it. In fact, Mick Sueda brought his kid up on stage and introduced him. His name was Rocket Sueda. And there's a reason why he introduced him, because he just got booked to be on General Hospital. I guess he's going to be a regular on General Hospital.
Oh, geez.
Guy looks like he's 8 or 10 years old. So
wow.
Good gig for him, so congrats.
Yeah.
He's going to be making more than the whole band. Being on General Hospital, so.
Yeah, I don't think being in the Bullet Boys is really their day job.
Yeah, probably not anymore. They probably do session stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, do some weekend fly-ins. Maybe it is for some of them. Maybe others. A lot of guys nowadays have their own little studios and produce other acts and record, and that's how they make money. I think that's how Mick Sueda makes his money.
Yeah.
Jimmy DeAnda, I think, plays with George Lynch a lot, and I don't know what the other two guys do, but yeah, that's
who else did Mick Sueda play with? Was he in
Kingdom
King Cobra?
King Cobra, correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
Yep. In fact, you know, the Bullet Boys are three guys who came from King Cobra.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because Mark Torian was there for a short time as a lead vocalist.
King Cobra.
Yeah. So was Lonnie Vincent, because they went through a bunch of, you know, band changes, and that those three guys split off after King Cobra finally called it a day.
Yeah.
And then became the Bullet Boys.
I really liked King Cobra.
They were great. I saw them live twice.
Jeez.
What a band. It's too bad they didn't get that push they needed from the record company. So if you get a chance to go see the Bullet Boys, I mean, tickets for $20. So I paid $20. It's right in front of me. Lots of energy. Good time. I highly recommend it. So if you don't do it, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I'm reading a lot of the reviews of the Monsters on the Mountain from Tennessee this past weekend, and a lot of bands are getting a lot of good reviews.
Yeah, it looked like it was in a tent. I couldn't tell. I saw some of the video. I couldn't tell how many people were there, but it looked like it was kind of intimate, like maybe 1,500, maybe.
Yeah. I would really like to see John Corabi do his thing, and of course Jeff Scott Soto and Jason Beeler do their thing.
Did Eclipse play? They were on the line. They were on the bill.
I think so.
Wow, I bet
I'd
you.
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah, go check YouTube. A lot of people post that stuff. In fact, the show I just talked about, I saw like 6 clips from it because everybody in front of me had their phones up.
I hate that, man. Just watch the damn show.
Yeah, I mean, I get taking a picture or maybe recording one song, but you don't have to record the whole show. It's a lot more fun just getting into the music.
I recorded Toto's last show. I recorded when they were introducing the main keyboard player.
David Page?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, David Page.
Wow.
I recorded when they introduced David Page because he wasn't touring with the band. And so he flew out that day to be in Philly for the last show.
Okay.
That's kind of a cool thing to have recorded, but I'm not about to record the whole damn show.
No, you lose it because you don't get to jump around, bob your head, sing along.
You could watch them on a 100-foot stage or on a 3-inch screen.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
And if you post it on YouTube and I saw the clips, you know, the sound is not as good as it is. No. You lose the experience.
Yeah. But so, whatever.
So all you boneheads out there, the Canyon Club, don't record the whole damn show. Just pick a song, okay? Pick a song and that's it.
Only $20 though.
$20, good deal, huh?
Man, there's a friend of mine out here. He's going to see Ghost and Volbeat up in Hershey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to go, but it's $130. I don't really want to spend $130. And I've seen both bands before, so.
Well, both of those bands are pretty major now. Yeah. I mean, if you see these 80s bands, it's going to be $20 to $30.
Yeah. I'd love to go, but, you know, $130 is a little much for.
I can't get past the Volbeat vocalist. I can't.
Well, that's kind of their deal. I don't mind it at all. I like Volbeat.
It's okay. And there goes my damn dog. Shut up. Oh boy.
I really like Ghost. I've seen them. I think I've seen them 3 times now. Really like those guys.
Yeah. You're more into them than I am. So.
Yeah, I like the shtick they have. You know, with the masks and all that. I love the music.
Maybe I need to experience it live.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They don't have. The show is more about the music. It's not. There's not a lot of pyro and not a lot of smoke and all that kind of stuff. But the music's good.
All right, cool. So. Everybody go out there, see the Bullet Boys and Ghost on tour together. No, not really. and on that, you know what?
For it is a human number. Its number is 6.
Let's play some 6 and 30 now. Let's get that.
Sounds good to me.
All right. So which one you want to do? You want to do yours first? Or do you want to...
Yeah, you go ahead and play the one that I...
Okay, so the way this game works here is we get 6 songs and you got to guess them in 30 seconds. And it could be any random songs. There could be a theme to it. So Danny, is there a theme to this week?
There is a theme. These songs all have the word cherry in the title.
Cherry in the title.
Cherry in the title, and you just need to get, because I pretty much put the chorus in there, so you just need to come up with the artist.
Okay, so cherry in the title, so, all right, so play along at home, get your pencil and paper out, and I'm gonna get my pencil out here, play together, because this is not easy, folks. Here we go. God, make the poor man cry, sweet cherry pie. Wow. There is some of them I got immediately.
Oh, yeah. Some are obvious.
And a couple of them are like, what the hell is that? So I have to play this again, see if I can guess. I don't know. I may only get like 3 on this one. We'll find out.
You know all these artists. I didn't pull any kind of really funky stuff out, but.
Yeah, number 5, not a clue. Number 6 is so damn familiar. So let me hear this again here.
Yeah, you're going to crap when you hear number 6. God, make the poor man cry, sweet cherry pie, yeah. Gotta give my love for cherry. Dance for me, there's only you. Hello, daddy. Hello, mom. I'm your cherry bob. I've got to have your cherry. Cherry baby, cherry. We had no cherry.
Man. Okay. Man, it's so familiar. All right. So let's go down the list here. You got.
All right.
So we're going to try to get 6 for 6 on this. Number 1 is easy. That's Warrant with Cherry Yep. Pie. Number 2 is a guess. Is it UFO?
Yes, that is correct.
That's what I thought. Okay, number number three is the Runaways.
That is correct.
Number four is the Mighty Stars.
Oh, I thought I'd get you on that one.
Cherry Baby was their only top 40 hit.
Yeah, well, still it's Stars, so I don't...
I think I like Stars more than you do. All right.
Absolutely.
All right, and here's where it gets really fuzzy. Number five, I'm going to take a swing at this one. Is it Big Bad Voodoo Daddy?
No.
No.
No, and I don't think you're even close.
Oh, okay.
You and I were never really big fans. It's a single guy. He's had a band that with just about every guy out there.
Is it that Buster Poindexter guy?
No. No.
Who the hell is it?
That's Frank Zappa.
Oh, God. I would have never got that in a million years.
Nope.
I think I know two songs by Frank Zappa.
Yeah, I only know My Guitar Wants to Kill Your Mama. That's
and that's Dweezil Zappa.
Yeah.
That's not even Frank. Frank, I know Stinkfoot, and I know Valley Girl.
Yeah.
That's it. But he has a following. I just never got into his music. Number six sounds so damn familiar.
You're going to be pissed if you don't get this.
I'm going to, this is, okay, this is, a, is it Danger Danger?
Yes, that is right. It's from the Great Gildersleeves album.
Yeah, the voice threw me for a second. All right, so I got 5 out of 6.
Yeah, not bad.
And I got that last one on the very last second because I knew that song. I knew that the voice threw me because it's Paul Lane singing. It's not Ted Poley.
That's probably one of my top 10 albums of all time.
Yeah, you like to.
I love that album.
Okay, so Danger, Danger, Great Gildersleeves. Go out and get it.
Oh, get it.
Which was the name of a club, I think, in the New Jersey, New York area. That's where they got that from. That's where that title comes from. So, 5 out of 6. Ooh, cherry songs. I like that. So, what I got for you is all of these songs are the intro parts of songs. Every one of these bands is a Sunset Strip band.
Oh, geez.
Okay. You know, but you know all these bands, and I saw all of these bands. So I think some of them are going to be easy right away, and I didn't want to pick the signature song if it was Guns N' Roses. Oh, Welcome to the Jungle beginning. No, right. I would pick an more of a throwaway filler track that wasn't a single. So this is going to be a challenge. But
these songs are just the guitar intro from bands from the Strip.
From the Strip, and you know every one of these bands.
All right.
Good luck.
See how many I've seen after we...
I think you've seen a lot of them.
All right, here we go.
Amazing how similar those last two are, aren't they, when you play them next to each other? Every one of those is a band from the Sunset Strip. The first
song sounds so familiar.
Oh,
I got three of them.
Wow, only three. A couple of them are tough.
Yeah.
And tough is not on this list. These are bands that actually got quite a bit of playing time and sold, most of them sold pretty well. You own.
Let me hear it one more time here.
Go ahead. Yeah, if you heard the voice on some of these, you'd go, oh, I know
that is. Oh, man.
All right, Danny.
That first one, I know the song. I need like 5 more seconds of it. I don't know who that is.
It's somebody you've seen live.
God, I don't know.
The name of the song is Swing Time by Black and Blue.
Oh, God. So I know I knew that song, it's and I love time. Black and Blue.
Yep, that's one wrong. What's the next one, which I think is pretty hard?
I have no clue on the second one. That's the one I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a song called School Days by Wasp. It's on the first
record. That was Wasp?
That was Wasp.
Jeez, okay.
Number three.
Number three, is that Keel?
No.
No?
No. Mm. Get down. Let's get crazy.
I don't know.
Quiet that. Riot off of Mental Health. Wow.
That scream did not sound like Kevin DeBro.
But... All right. Number four.
Number four. That's Rough Cut.
Oh, my God. You got the least selling band of the whole group. This is the one you got so far. Rough Cut.
Well, I love Rough Cut.
So. All right. Number five.
Number five. Again, this is another one like the first one. I know the song. I've heard it tons of times. I just don't know. I can't place it.
Oh, my God. Look what the cat dragged in.
Oh, my God.
That is Poison. And a similar riff in the next one.
The next one, the last one's Rat.
Correct.
You're in Love.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. You got 2 out of 6, and I got 5 out of 6. So guess what?
If you had told me the bands, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I got all those. No problem. God.
I know. Sometimes it's hard. That's why I just did the beginnings of those songs.
Yeah. Well, it's 5-2. You won all the prize money.
I wanted to challenge you and the rest of planet Earth. So, yeah, there it goes.
Planet Earth.
Good stuff. And now that we've all done that, let's take time for a commercial break. All right, we're back here on the Hard Rockin' Trivia Show, where we're going to give you our top 3 albums so far of the year 2021. And neither one of us knows each other's list. We're going to give you our number 3, number 2, and number 1. I have a feeling that none of ours are going to be the same.
Yeah, I have 100% confidence that we picked 3 different albums.
Which means we can preview 6 albums. Because yeah. Yeah. I'm a throw...
I have a couple... I actually had 4, but I... One is an honorable mention, because I love this album too, but...
I'll do an honorable mention as well. All right, so let's start with number... What's your number 3, Danny?
My number 3, and mine are probably going to be fairly obvious to anybody that knows me. My number 3 is LaVara. Trying to read between the lines. Around and around and around. People wondering what I only heaven knows. What are you waiting for? Heaven knows. What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting? Which is the son of Steve Lukather's band that actually doesn't exist anymore, because they, to me, it seemed like it was Trev Lukather's band, but then they kick him out.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah, they kicked him out, and now they don't, the 2 other guys that were left aren't doing anything either. So this is kind of a one-off thing, but their album is great. Very, very awesome melodic rock album.
It is very good. It's not on my list, but I agree with it. It's a solid album. I think I've listened to it about 5 times. Yeah, great vocals, great songs, good playing. Okay. I'm surprised they broke up already.
Yeah, well, apparently from what Trev Lukather was saying online, that they kicked him out for taking too much credit. Even though it was his band and he wrote the songs and he got the guys together. Now, if you talk to the other 2 guys, it's probably not the story at all, but they kicked him out is what happened.
Those guys are idiots. Hey, if you got any kind of in anywhere, and Luke, one of your people in your band is named Lukather, you ride it until as far as you can go.
Absolutely. These guys, I don't know if the ego is out is the problem, but you know, you just I would suck it up, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, he's out there promoting your band, whether he's taking credit or not. He's promoting your band, trying to make that band bigger, and you're part of it. No, you stick with it,
man. Yeah, if you can get people to come to your shows regardless of the reason, get them in the door so you can play for them.
Absolutely. And their album was, it was going good.
What was the name of that album?
Getting a lot of airplay.
Self-titled?
Yep.
Okay.
Levara, L-E-V-A-R-A. It's a great album. If you can certainly find it, you know, download it, but it's great.
Okay. Good one so far. I agree that yours is good. My number three is kind of a surprise, and I'm surprised I picked it as well. It's Buck Cherry, and the album is called Hellbound. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1! I'm really surprised I like this as much as I did, because the last three Buck Cherry albums are like, eh, listened to it twice and threw it away, didn't care. This one has some quality songs, and this is after they kicked out, or he left, or Keith Lincoln, who was a primary songwriter in that band for the first three or four albums, or maybe five albums. And when he left, I figured, oh, these guys aren't going to be any good anymore. But this album is really strong.
Maybe that was the problem.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But
ran out of ideas.
The self-titled song is good. So Hot is cool. There's a song called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That's a great song.
Yeah, straight ahead rock and the AC/DC kicks vein. No big surprises, but I'm just surprised how good the songs are.
Yeah, I really like this album. I've listened to it three or four times, and it's definitely could be on a list.
Yeah, but not yours.
Not mine.
Okay, so far, no, we have not agreed. Well, so far we like the album. So far, nothing is awful yet. So what's your number two?
My number two is a band I've liked since high school.
I'm going to guess.
It's a new release from Iron Maiden.
Hey, what a surprise. Iron Maiden. Yeah, I think I know.
Anytime an Iron Maiden album comes out, I mean, yeah, I haven't been a huge fan of the last few albums, but this one is kind of like what you were saying about Buck Cherry. This album is really good. There's some moments on here. It's a very long album. I mean, I don't know if the vinyl is two discs or what, but the last four songs are all over 10 minutes. So, you know, they overachieved in the songwriting department, but there's some great, great songs on this album. So, great riffs, awesome drums.
So if they're like 10 tracks on it, so it's five vinyl albums, one song aside.
Yeah. I think there might be 10 songs. Yeah. 10 or 11.
I can honestly say I've listened to three songs on it. So
yeah.
I haven't been able to really get into it, so.
Yeah, I put it on. I work from home, so I put it on and I just listen to it and, you know, sometimes you'll be listening, kind of half listening, and go, whoa, wait, what was that? And go back and, yeah, that's my number two.
Number two. I'm not surprised, and I bet I already know what your number one is, but it's on to my number two.
Yeah.
Wild Hearts calls 21st Century Love Songs. I've been a fan since day one. This is, if you're not familiar with the Wild Hearts, they're kind of hard to categorize. They got a punk element to them. They got a very melodic, Cheap Trick type element to them, because they got a lot of anthems. And they like to change time signatures in their songs quite a bit. They'll be going slow, then it'll be super fast, then it'll go slow. So it go 4-4 here, and I don't know what all the time signatures. I'm not a musician, but sometimes you'll get a long song, 7 minutes, it's gone like eight different speeds. and in another, you'll get a 2-minute punk song. So
yeah.
So this one of those bands that
song demands, but
yeah.
I honestly haven't heard that much of that album. I think I listened to it once or maybe halfway through.
Yeah. The songs I dig is a song called Splitter. I mean, it's like, it's pretty much of a punk, it's almost a punk song. It's like 2 minutes long. There's another one that I really like. It's called You Do You. And it starts off where he says, fish don't know they're swimming in water. And it goes into the song. So they have pretty good sense of humor. Four-piece band. They're big in England, but really nowhere else. But yeah. Catchy songs. Good vibe. Love to see them at least once. If they ever come out to Southern California again, I'm going to go check them out. So, the Wild Hearts, 21st Century Love Songs. Now, nice. Danny, what's your number one? And I think I know what it is.
I'm going to go way off the reservation here and say my number one release this year has been Mammoth. No question. Breathing in all the madness around you.
I am shocked. Not.
You are not. Because this album is awesome. No question, my number one of the year.
Okay, well, yeah, we did a review of it a while back.
Yep.
And not surprised.
I don't think I can say enough good stuff about it then either. So,
Wolfie will be very pleased with you.
Yeah. Well, I saw him in Hershey open for Guns N' Roses, and the band can absolutely cut it live. I mean, it's not like you can't recognize the songs or the vocals really aren't there. He's definitely got the chops.
Okay. Well, not a surprise. Yeah, I agree. It's a good album. I like it quite a bit too, but it's not my number one.
No, of course not.
Not my two or not even my three. My number one is from the Dead Daisies featuring Glenn Hughes on lead vocals. And the name of that album is called Holy Ground. They should have called it Holy Sheesh. This is a good album. This is the way I like to hear Glenn Hughes. It's not funk-based, which he likes to do, and he likes to do his blues stuff. No, this is probably the best album he's recorded since the album he did with Gary Moore, Run for Cover. Oh, my God. Yeah. This is a monster. And the stuff he did with Tony Iommi, those albums, this is just as good. And come on, Danny, if you got to love a song that has the word bassline in it. You know what I'm talking about. You know that song, right? Oh, yeah. It's called Like No Other, and he talks about his bassline, and it jams. This album is hard. This album is heavy. It's melodic, and they just played here, and I didn't get to go. I was like, oh, darn man. It. I had an engagement doing something else. I don't know what I was doing, but I didn't get to see the Dead Daisies. But great album.
It's weird because you never know which Dead Daisies you're going to get. I mean, I guess now you'll get the Glenn Hughes version, but you could have gotten the John Corabi version. You know, it's like an idea with a bunch of different guys in it, and it's
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah, it's Dead Daisy is basically this millionaire from Australia who owns, he owns all the Westfield shopping malls. He's part of it. And so he's set for life. So what he does is he hires these guys, Guns for Hire, and everybody's always great. And they go out and make an album, and they tour it, and then they get some other guys. He always, you know, gets his list of guys he wants to play with, puts them together, puts an album out, and tours. I mean, what a lucky guy. David Lowie, I think his name is. Lucky, lucky man. Just take, and he puts people on his plane. He's got a plane. This guy's a billionaire. So, yeah. He's got Doug Aldrich on guitar. Glenn Hughes on bass and vocals. And it was the guy from Journey until he left and went back to Journey who did the album. But Tommy Clefetos, who was in the last drummer in Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne's band, did the tour. So
yeah, Dean Castronovo.
Yeah, Dean Castronovo was the drummer on the album. Yeah. Who doesn't suck? Out of those six albums, go out and get all of them.
All of you won't. Yeah, you won't be remiss in any of them.
Right. My list is better than yours, but your list is good too.
No, just because yours is more obscure doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I could say. Yeah. Well, what was your number three, LaVara?
LaVara, yeah.
That's obscure.
Yeah. No, my honorable mention.
Oh, what's your honorable mention?
Wet is pretty obscure.
And which Wet album are we talking about?
The newest one.
What's it called?
Oh, God, now you ask me that.
Is it like Reanimation or something like that?
Like, I think it was like Transgression.
Oh my God. You're going to make me look this up on my handy dandy device here.
I'll look it up.
Oh, let's see. You can look it up first. I'm surprised you didn't put Eclipse up there.
Well, I haven't listened to that as much. The album is great and I like just about anything Eclipse does, but you know, the E in Wet stands for Eclipse because the main guy from Eclipse is in this.
Eric Martinson, right?
Yeah.
All right. My honorable mention, and I can't find that, is because it's only an EP, Licorice Quartet.
Oh, damn.
So it's only an EP, so it didn't qualify as a full album. But Threesome Volume. Go ahead.
I would have accepted that.
Threesome Volume 2. And when they got a new one coming out, another EP, so they're putting two EPs out. Oh, well, great.
Oh, my, yeah, that is so freaking good. I love those guys. I love their first album. And this next one is even better. But.
Yeah, three-fourths of the Spilt Milk Jellyfish lineup.
Yep.
Yeah. The Licorice Quartet. Go invest in that. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, you want to talk about Obscure. There's one for you.
Yeah. Well, I think we're the only you and I and probably another 100 people in the United States are into them. Hopefully more, but yeah, great stuff. Fantastic power pop.
The most recent Wet album is Retransmission.
Retransmission, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, there you definitely got obscure there, but
freaking great.
Not so much in Europe.
But you know, you have Eric Martinson and Jeff Scott Soto. So you got the vocals covered.
Oh yeah.
No matter where you're going with that.
Yeah. I'm hoping to see Jeff Scott Soto and Jason Bieler again, now that they're doing their thing together, so hopefully they'll hit your part of the planet and my part of the planet.
They played New York while I was on vacation.
They haven't played LA yet, so maybe I'll get to see them.
Yeah, they were at the Tennessee, the Monsters on the Mountain.
Cool.
You know, that's basically like an M3. They could tour M3 around the country. I don't, you know, like every weekend have it in a different place.
But I don't think it would draw. I think you need to do it special. Maybe do one on the West Coast, the middle of the country, and the East Coast, and spread it out a little bit. I think they could do that.
Well, you could have one in like Dallas and one Atlanta, have it here in like where they usually have M3 at Meriwether, have one up in New York, Boston, Chicago, you know, the big cities. Yeah, you could do Des Moines.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, because we had a Cat House Live thing at Irvine Meadows, and we had all the same M3 type bands, and it did okay, But I expected a lot more people there. But yeah.
Well, yeah, but if you have three nights of those type of bands, you're gonna draw quite a bit.
You hope.
I mean, Kix wouldn't close down every Friday, but in Baltimore they do.
Yeah. And now Kix has only got two original guys in it right now.
Yeah.
Oops. Well, hopefully, the drummer had a heart issue, and yeah. The guitar player has a drug issue.
Substance issue.
Yeah.
And the bass player is fairly recent.
Right. So hopefully those guys get better and they can get back to doing what they do best.
Yeah.
That note, we should move on to our next bit, our closing bit of the show.
The closer.
Now it's time to play Who the Hell Is This?
Here's a bit we call Who the Hell Is This? Where we have four 10-second clips where we try to... You got to get the guy to guess who this artist is. And sometimes we pick an obscure artist. Sometimes we pick a well-known artist, but an obscure song. Mark, why don't you go ahead? Because I don't think you're going to get this one. But
you might. I don't know. You gave me a hard one, and I think I gave you an easy one this time. So,
all right, well, we'll see. This one's pretty hard, so.
Okay. All right, here, let's play track one. Here we go. Wow. Well, it's not familiar at all. The musicianship is stellar. So my guess would be, is that Steve Vai?
No, it is not.
Am I even close?
No, you're not even close.
Damn. Any clues?
I'll give you a clue that this is a band that began in 2008.
Ooh, so
this album is the album that this song came from was from 2010.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Track number two. Ooh, that sounds good, but I have no idea who it is. So I'm gonna.
This is a great song. You got a guess?
Volbeat.
No, it is not Volbeat.
Yeah, I didn't hear him sing.
I think I included the vocals on the next part, on the next clip, so you'll know it's not Volbeat.
Do I get any more clues?
Another clue. This is a German band.
German band. Okay. Let's see.
It's a band that you wouldn't know any of the individual players.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm going to take a wild stab at this. Is it like Running Wild?
No, but you're getting closer. Getting closer.
Okay. So German band...
German band came out in 2010. I'll give you the name of the album. It's called Addicted to Metal.
Oh, you just gave it away, sir. Let's play track four. He's a supersonic killer. Supersonic killer. Yeah, I would have got it off of track four regardless of the clue you gave. Because I believe this is on their best of album that they just put out. This is Kissing Dynamite.
That is correct. The song is called Supersonic Killer.
I'm a big fan of this band, especially their more recent stuff, like the Addicted to Metal and Back. I'm not that familiar with that stuff at all. And the only reason I'm familiar with that is I heard this song like 4 days ago.
Yeah, this... The Greatest Hits album has a live version of this song. This is from their second album.
Yeah.
Their later albums, they just keep getting better and better. But this song rocks, man.
Yeah, in fact, I think their last two albums were released on Metal Blade Records in the United States, Kissin' Dynamite.
Kissin' Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Melodic hard rock five-piece band. Excellent band. Yeah. I can highly recommend them more. Good one, Danny.
I, I couldn't tell if the singer and guitarist are brothers. They have the same last name. So they may be brothers, but they were, they started out of high school, got a record deal.
Yeah, they don't look anything alike, but it could be, it's possible.
Yeah.
I think on the Vakken website, if you've ever been there, the Vakken YouTube channel, I believe they have a live performance of Kissing Dynamite on it. Good stuff.
Nice. All right.
All right, so now it's your turn, and this is a band. So, I think I made this way too easy for you, but...
Oh, geez, okay.
You never know. It's a band I've seen a couple times. That's all I'll tell
you. Have I seen them, do you think?
I don't think you have. No.
All right. Well, let's give it a try here.
All right.
Suspended in darkness, in this dream with no sound, I'm caught in a...
Man, great vocals.
Mm-hmm.
Not much to go on other than that. That's not a version of John Corabi, is it?
Well, what band were you thinking of?
I don't even, like his solo, is it not John Corabi?
John Corabi solo. No, that'd be incorrect. Okay. But I agree with you. Great vocalist. This is a four-piece band out of Los Angeles, 80s.
Okay.
I'll think about tomorrow when yesterday's begun.
That might do it, huh?
Oh. Is that Kelly Hansen?
Yes.
Is that the Hurricane?
It is Hurricane.
Not Foreigner?
Not Foreigner. What's the name of the song, though?
Oh, shoot. I have no idea.
Well, so you're going to listen to the next couple of tracks, so you have to give me the band, and you got to give me the song. But skip to number four, because that's to give this the chorus.
All right.
Over the edge. I feel I'm going down. Over the edge.
I'm going to say it's like Living Over the Edge.
Yeah, it's Over the Edge. Their first full-length album is called Over the Edge.
Yeah, I would have gotten it for sure on that one, because that's total Kelly Hansen right there.
Yeah. And I just saw the video for that. Again, a couple of days. That's what sparked it. I saw the video pop up somewhere, and, oh, I should do Hurricane. I don't think Danny knows too much Hurricane.
No, I don't, but his voice is very distinct.
Out of their catalog, the first EP and the Over the Edge album are the ones that stand out the most. Then they did another album with... Doug Aldridge, and I think they did a total of four albums, and they weren't as good. They were okay. Like, one was called Slave to the Thrill, and Liquify, I think, was the last one. But do you know, remember the famous brothers in that band?
No.
Oh, Carlos Cavazos' brother, Tony Cavazos, was the bass player, and the guitar players was Robert Sarzo.
Oh, so they had, Rudy's brother.
Yep, so they had a Quiet Riot connection there.
Yeah.
I saw them headline the New Year's Eve at the Reseda Country Club. I saw them once more there. And my God, they were so good, especially Kelly Hansen.
Yeah, I haven't seen them.
Yeah, I think they tried to put out another line. I think at M3, I think Hurricane played, but they had somebody else singing, so, which isn't the same.
Nah, he's... The guy is, like, super talented.
Yeah, and now...
That's why he's a foreigner.
He doesn't need to do a Hurricane gig here and there, but it would be nice. It would be cool to see it once. Close the door on that thing.
But yeah, Hurricane should open for Foreigner.
Yeah. Everybody's like, who's this guy? Yeah, fantastic. So, yeah, if you get a chance, that Kissin' Dynamite, Greatest Hits, Best Of, check that out. Check out the old Hurricane albums. You won't be disappointed. In fact, anything we've talked about on this show, if you got a chance, go out and go to Amazon, go buy some of that stuff. Or
yeah, we featured some good music this show.
Yeah, this didn't suck.
No.
Hey, I think this went pretty well for the first time doing this and putting it out on the same day, huh?
Yeah, well, we'll see how it is when we put it out.
Yeah.
Or when you put it out.
Yeah, hopefully actually, we record a couple of shows where... Unfortunately, only one side of it recorded, so you hear it in one headphone and not in the other. So I guess it would be in mono instead of stereo. So we had to scrap those. And we figured, hey, let's try to do this every 2 weeks, put something out there, and hopefully you guys enjoy it out there. Give us a little feedback on the Facebook page. Because if you don't, we're not going to probably see it anyway, because I'm hardly ever on Facebook anyway. So
I'm not on Facebook at all.
Yeah, Danny has ditched Facebook altogether. Yeah. I haven't yet, but I'm not on it very often anymore.
The freedom is wonderful.
Yeah. But now he's on probably TikTok all the time.
Yeah.
You do any social media anymore?
Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah,
I follow some guys on Twitter that I like, but
aren't they all owned?
Billy Sheehan and Jeff Scott Soto post all the time.
Okay.
All the time.
Yeah, I don't do Twitter hardly at all, and I do Instagram more. I'm starting to watch it a little bit more, but I'm not addicted to it. Like my son will go in the bathroom and be on there for an hour. What is he doing in there?
He posts all the time too.
Okay.
They talk about a few weeks ago they were putting together the new Winery Dogs album.
Oh, good. It's about time.
Yeah, that last one was great. Hot Streak.
Mm-hmm. Outstanding. Yeah, I liked it too. So I guess we're going to see you guys in a couple of weeks with a brand new spanking show, which Danny is going to put together. He's going to tell us what we're going to do. And
all right.
Hopefully it'll turn out like this one did.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, hopefully.
We may need to do a track by track again.
Oh, well, you just got to let me know which one you want to do.
All right, cool.
Oh, I got one last thing to say. I found it wasn't Eddie Trunk who stole our bit. It was another show that did it. Eddie Trunk was on the show. It was, I forgot the name of the damn show.
When they stole track by track?
Yeah, it's a Metal Edge Presents, and it has these two guys on it. And that same bit that we do, they did. They just had special guests. We have no guests.
Yeah, well, we can't exactly get the guys that played on the albums to come in and talk about them.
Yeah, and we don't have the time to beg them. So, <Yeah. laughs> sorry, we have lives. I mean, we're lucky we get to do this.
Exactly.
Okay, and on that note, everybody, we'll see you in a couple weeks. And if you like it, let us know on Facebook, because maybe I'll see it. All right, click. All right.